This morning we have the wonderful privilege of ordaining and installing two men to serve as deacons here at Westminster Presbyterian Church. And before I call these men forward, I just want to say a few words about the office of deacon itself. What exactly are we doing this morning when we do this? Well, for this, I'd like to turn your attention first to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we read, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists," that is the Greek-speaking Jewish women, "arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' What they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem." And one of the things we see from this passage is that the most important ministry in the church, that the central ministry that cannot be derailed, is the ministry of the word and prayer. It is by the ministry of the word and prayer that people are saved and that Christians are sanctified in the truth. And what we see in Acts 6 is the apostles knew this was a necessary foundational ministry that they could not be distracted from. They had to be in a position to give themselves to this ministry without distraction. But what Acts chapter 6 also teaches us is that there are other important matters besides the ministry of the word and prayer that have to be addressed in the body of Christ. If the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer are to go forward, there were certain material needs that had to be addressed, that had to be met. And what the apostles did not say here in Acts 6 is, well, those things obviously aren't important, so people should just get over it and not worry about those things. Don't worry about eating. Instead, you should just listen to preaching and come to prayer meetings. They also did not say, because these things are so important and we as the apostles are spiritually in charge of the church, then we must do it all. But rather, what they did in the wisdom of God is they developed a division of labor. That the division was not separate, but rather intended to work together for a common purpose so that the word of the gospel could go forth. And in this division, the apostles gave themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. And they entrusted these other men who were godly men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom. And if you continue to read through Acts, they were fairly gifted in the ministry of the word themselves. But they delegated to these tasks the dealing with the material, physical needs of the body in order to facilitate the overarching ministry of word and prayer in the church. So in Acts chapter 6, we see this division take place, and then it's described in Acts 6, and then in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see this division prescribed for all the churches, that the churches should be governed by elders who will do this primary task of ministering the word and prayer, and deacons who will help the elders by doing whatever needs to be done to facilitate that ministry going forward. So Paul says to Timothy, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ." I do want to remind you of the process we have gone through. These men have been nominated by you, the congregation. They have gone through about 2 months of training where we met every week to talk about different aspects of the diaconal office. These men were then interviewed by our session We have presented them to you, which last week, if you were here at the congregation, you then voted to receive these men as deacons. And so I'd like to have you guys actually come to the front of the church. Don't be shy. We're delighted to have you both. And now I want to ask you some important questions, which you have already heard and answered in the presence of the elders, but I ask you now to hear and answer them in the presence of the congregation. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, as originally given, to be the inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and the catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? And do you further promise that if at any time you find yourself out of accord with any of the fundamentals of this system of doctrine, you will, on your own initiative, make known to your session the change which has taken place in your views since the assumption of this ordination vow? Do you? Do you approve of the form of government and discipline of the Presbyterian Church in America in conformity with the general principles of biblical polity? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an officer? Yes. Do you promise subjection to your brethren in the Lord? Do you promise to strive for the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church? People of Westminster Presbyterian Church, this is particularly the members that I'm addressing here, I ask you this question. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these brothers as deacons? And do you promise to yield to them all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which this office, according to the word of God and the constitution of the church, entitled these men? If you do, would you please respond by saying, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Well, at this point, I would like to call forward any elders that we have here in the service and also any deacons that we have to be able to come and stand with these men. And we would like to pray for them and set them apart for this work. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that saves men and women and children from sin and death and the torments of hell. We thank you for the power of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the salvation that is ours in him. And we thank you for the unspeakable privilege of not only being saved from our sin, but being adopted into your family, becoming members of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the unbelievable honor of the fact that you would choose to call men to serve you in leadership of your church as elders and deacons. Lord, we know that there is not a man before us who deserves to serve in such a position, who has merited such a position. And yet, Lord, with unspeakable humility, we just declare our awe that you call men to serve you. You give them gifts. You entrust them with authority to exercise your rule over your people. Lord, we pray that you would bless these men for this work, that you would keep them, that you would protect their individual walk with you, draw close to them and nourish their faith. We pray that you would protect their families and keep them, enable them to have rich, loving, sacrificial relationships with their wives, to care for their children. And Lord, we pray that you would bless their work in the church, that they would serve well, with humility, with dignity, with grace, and ever-increasing holiness. And would you bless us as a congregation in and through their service? Help us to support them in prayer and by lending a helping hand where that's called upon. And we pray that you would bless Westminster Presbyterian Church and make us a place where the gospel goes forth in power through the work of the elders and the deacons, and that many are drawn to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.